Radio Prague News. The opposition right-of-center Civic Democrats will support the government's income tax bill. The number of Czechs with diabetes caused by excess weight has doubled in the last two decades, and Deputy Health Minister Rath has declared war on hospitals that fail to care for inpatients. The opposition right-of-center Civic Democrats will support the government's proposal to lower the income tax. In a TV discussion program on Sunday, Civic Democrat Vlastimil Tlusty said party deputies will vote in favor of the bill at Tuesday's lower house session. The Civic Democrats have been blocking the proposal as it only affects those with a monthly salary of up to 30,000 Czech crowns or around $1,200, which is an estimated 4 million people. The number of Czechs with diabetes that is caused by excess weight has doubled in the last two decades. Of the country's population of 10 million, some 750,000 suffer from type 2 diabetes, which is not treated with insulin but rather by dietary changes, exercise and tablets. Experts warn ever more Czechs are inactive, have a poor diet and suffer from high blood pressure. Deputy Health Minister David Rath has declared war on those hospitals which fail to provide proper care for inpatients. The director of the largest state-owned insurance company, VZP, is expected to present him with a list of up to 40 of the country's worst offenders. A commission of experts will evaluate the hospitals, and the worst cases will be fined or even closed down. 10 people were injured, one seriously, when a bus carrying Greek tourists collided with a car near Rakovník, which is around 50 kilometers west of Prague, on Saturday evening. A woman who suffered life-threatening injuries was airlifted to Prague's Motol Hospital. Other injured were taken to a local hospital. Police are investigating the cause of the accident. And the Czech Film and Television Academy awarded some of the country's best artists at its ELSAT Television Awards ceremony, which was held at Prague's Lucerna Ballroom on Saturday night. With one exception, all awards went to productions by the country's public television station Czech TV. The country's main commercial stations, TV Nova and TV Prima, boycotted the ceremony, protesting against the Film and Television Academy's selection procedure. Programs such as the Czech Pop Idol and the two stations' reality shows were not considered. And a quick look at the weather. We can expect some heavy early morning fog and occasional showers in the next few days. The mild temperatures that have been enjoying will also fall to reach a maximum of 15 degrees Celsius throughout next week. I'm Dita Asiru, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. In today's program, why a Czech national celebration in Cuba was banned as counter-revolutionary, how do young Czechs' views on society differ from those of their Central European peers, the results of a new Reader's Digest poll are in, and the Order of the White Lion. We look at President Václav Klaus's choices this year for Czech state honors. Please stay tuned. Relations between the Czech Republic and Cuba have long been cool, but the thermometer dropped a few more degrees on Friday following an incident in the Cuban capital. Czech diplomats had been planning to celebrate Czechoslovak Independence Day at a Havana hotel, but the reception was banned by the Cuban authorities. Rob Cameron has more.
Czechs and Slovaks celebrated Independence Day on Friday, the 87th anniversary of the foundation of the independent Czechoslovak state. The Czech embassy in Havana had booked a luxury hotel to celebrate the event and invited a number of Cuban and foreign guests. But it was the invitations issued to 20 so-called ladies in white, wives and relatives of Cuban political prisoners, which angered the Castro regime. And at the last minute, the reception, dubbed counter-revolutionary by the Cuban authorities, was banned. Kristina Brunerova works at the People in Need human rights group and is also secretary of the International Committee for Democracy in Cuba. She told Radio Prague the ban had come as no surprise.
Well, I think this is a typical reaction of a totalitarian regime such as the ones of Fidel Castro. They're trying to prohibit any activity that would go against the regime, and would obviously they don't want the world to know about the opposition, so they're trying to eliminate the contact. And this was probably the reason why they tried to stop the celebration in the hotel in Havana.
An impromptu reception was later held at the Czech ambassador's residence, attended by a number of EU ambassadors. The Czech government has made Cuba a foreign policy priority, opposing attempts within the EU to take a more conciliatory stance towards the Castro regime. Kristina Prunerová says many Czechs, who spent four decades living under communism, feel a moral obligation to promote human rights and democracy in Cuba.
I think the most important fact is the common history that we share with Cubans, because we also lived under the communist regime and under strong totalitarian regimes such as the ones that Fidel Castro is running now in Cuba, and we feel solidarity because we were also helped during that time from abroad, and the solidarity was very important for us, and now we're trying to help in Cuba in that same way.
The Czech Republic is fighting something of a lonely battle within the EU on Cuba. However, Czech diplomats have been encouraged by the recent support by several EU countries for a resolution condemning human rights abuses in Cuba in the United Nations Human Rights Commission. Both the Czech government and NGOs hope the EU itself is slowly swinging towards adopting a unified position on Cuba.
Rob Cameron. And Radio Prague made several attempts to speak to the Cuban chargé d'affaires this morning, but was told she was not available for interview. It is 16 years now since the dramatic collapse of communist rule around the former Eastern Bloc, and for many young people in the region, communism is, if anything, a vague memory. But how do today's young generation view society and their own lives? That question is addressed in a new survey of 17 to 27-year-olds in the Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary, and Romania by the magazine Reader's Digest. Ian Willoughby spoke to the Czech coordinator of the poll, Dr. Ivan Tomek, and asked him in which of the countries surveyed are young people most optimistic.
The most optimism in this survey is in Czech Republic. It's completely clear they are the most satisfied with the last 5 years. On the other hand, the optimism for the future is higher in Poland and Hungary, because if you are satisfied, if you are on a reasonable level of economic situation, life standard, you do not expect such a high increase in the future.
Let's talk for a second about the European Union. How do attitudes to the EU differ or compare in these countries we're talking about?
The differences are only in the positive appreciation of the membership. It's most positive in Poland. More than 70% of young people feels it's good for the country. You know that in Poland there were a lot of discussions before, but now most of Polish, including the agriculture, people are very satisfied with that. While in Hungary it's about 67, and in Czech Republic it's about 60%. So majority are satisfied in all these countries. Negative views are rare, 20% in Czech Republic, 15 in Poland, and 27 in Hungary. So it's quite a positive opinion.
And the question of national pride, is a typical young Czech as proud to be Czech as a typical young Hungarian is proud to be Hungarian?
Definitely not. For young Hungarians, the first thing when we asked them what are they proud of was, I'm proud I am a Hungarian. For Czechs, they are proud of sports, of important Czechs, of history and so on. But the national pride as itself, in Czech Republic, it's much less important than in Poland and in Hungary.
Were there any big surprises for you in this survey?
The big surprise for me, and negative one, was the lower importance of honesty as a necessity for reaching success in Czech Republic, which is on the sixth place, while in Hungary and Poland it's second or third. And I was a bit surprised how realistic are young people, how they see the real situation in the career, in economy, in education, of course also in politics and so on, because they are highly dissatisfied with politics and politicians in Czech Republic.
Dr. Ivan Tomek. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague. Friday, October 28th, was a state holiday in the Czech Republic as the nation marked the 87th anniversary of the foundation of independent Czechoslovakia. High state officials visited the grave of the first Czechoslovak president, Tomáš G. Masaryk. Politicians and war veterans came together for a reception at the National Museum, and President Václav Klaus awarded state medals at Prague Castle. The highest order was given to a pair of World War II veterans who later suffered at the hands of the communist regime. Tita Asiedu reports.
Prague Castle, Friday, October the 28th, when President Klaus honored 23 men and women. Michal Velišek, who was shot dead 2 months ago when he tried to come to the rescue of a young woman being harassed by an armed man, received an honor for bravery in memoriam. 18 people were awarded the Order of Merit for their service to society. A doctor, a priest, and a former RAF pilot accepted the Order of T.G. Masaryk. But the highest state distinction, the Order of the White Lion, was given to World War II veterans who fought to free Europe from the Nazi fist, only to suffer terrible fate under the communist regime. Like many others who fought alongside the Allies to liberate Czechoslovakia in the Second World War, General Rudolf Bernický was persecuted when the communists came to power. In 1948, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. He spent 11 years in uranium mines. General Bernický dedicated the order to the hundreds of war veterans who suffered a similar fate. Josef Buršík, who miraculously escaped from a communist prison and fled to Britain, was given the Order of the White Lion in memoriam. The regime had tried to wipe him from the public consciousness and did not fall short of removing him from photographs of those who had resisted the Nazis. Ironically, says historian Jaroslav Čvančara, Czech TV itself accidentally showed one of these retouched photographs during its live broadcast of Friday's ceremony. Josef Buršík was not on the picture because after he fled to Britain, the communist government dubbed him a traitor and he was carefully airbrushed out of all pictures in circulation.
Dita Asiedu. And moving well away from politics, it's now time for the sport with Ian Willoughby.
We begin with motorsport, and the Czech rally driver Roman Cresta is on a roll these days. After finishing a career-best fifth in Corsica the weekend before last, the Ford driver again came fifth on Sunday in the Rally of Catalunya. Speaking after the penultimate race of this year's World Rally Championship, Cresta said he was content enough, but things could have gone better.
I'm satisfied, of course, but that said, I'm not totally satisfied with the result because I made a mistake in the choice of tyres and that cost us at least a minute. Except for that, we would have come third. It could have been better, but that's the way rallies go, unfortunately. That's the way it is.
The most successful Czech rally driver ever, Roman Cresta. He wasn't the only Czech who did well on Sunday. Jan Kopecký finished 8th in Catalonia in a Škoda. Football now, and the crisis at Sparta Prague continues. Last season's champions are currently closer to relegation than winning the title. They're in 10th place after losing 2-1 to Olomouc on Saturday. Sparta's only goal came 6 minutes from time, a penalty converted by this man, Miroslav Matušovic.
We're always saying in the changing room that we'll have to change things, but then it turns out to be just talk once we actually get on the pitch. At the same time, we started today's game well. At one point I came close, but then, immediately afterwards, they got a goal from a centre. It was as if we just ground to a halt.
And Sparta will have a very tough challenge on Wednesday when they take on Arsenal at Highbury in the Champions League. On Thursday, Slavia Prague entertains CSKA Sofia in the UEFA Cup. Back in the Czech League, Liberec are 2 points clear at the top of the table after beating Pilsen 2-0 at the weekend. Teplice are second after drawing 1-1 with Slutsko. On the international front, there's a question mark over whether star striker Milan Baroš will be available for World Cup playoffs against Norway in mid-November. He's made very few appearances for Aston Villa since joining the club in the summer, and manager David O'Leary was angry when the player aggravated an injury by appearing for the Czech national team. Baroš says if he's not fit to play next weekend, Villa may not allow him to take part in the playoffs, but O'Leary says he has no power to stop him. The rules state clubs must free players for international duty. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby. And staying with Ian, it's now time for our weekly interview programme, One on One. His guest this week is journalist Nick Carey.
Today's guest on One is somebody who will be familiar to many listeners, because Nick Carey worked here at Radio Prague a few years ago. Nick has since moved into financial journalism, and after a decade in the Czech Republic, he's about to leave for pastures new. When we met at a cafe just around the corner from our studios, Nick Carey recalled his very first day at Radio Prague.
I didn't even know it was going to be my first day. I didn't get the job I applied for, but I was told that I should freelance. And after 6 weeks of freelancing, I was offered a full-time job. But the very first day that I was told to come in, David Vaughan, the editor-in-chief, said, come in, have a look, and Libor Kubik, the head of department at the time, will show you around, show you the ropes, and then you can come in another day and start the job. And I came into the office, and Libor handed me a sheaf of articles, a sheaf of articles from the Czech news agency, and said, I want you to do this story. And it was about the Czechs about to join NATO at that time in early 99. And I said, you want me to write the story? He said, yeah. I said, how long does it have to be? He said, about 3 minutes. And I had no idea how long that was. And I said, who's going to read it? And he said, well, you are. How long do I have? He said, looked at his watch, and very calmly said, oh, about an hour and 43 minutes. At that point, I almost quit. I almost just walked out of the building. I went out in the corridor, and at that point, I was a heavy smoker, and I had about 4 or 5 cigarettes. And then I came in and managed to persuade someone at the Russian embassy to talk to me, and never looked back.
So did you have, at the beginning, as I certainly did, studio nerves?
Well, my studio nerves were the worst. I think I'm probably legendary in Radio Prague for constantly getting lost in the middle of a sentence.
And swearing.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the swearing was cut out. But yeah, I think some spectacular swearing has been cut out of my days at Radio Prague.
What about the people that you met? Obviously, over 2 or 3 years, you would have met hundreds of people. Any particular interviewees stand out as being particularly interesting?
Well, I did manage to get F.W. de Klerk a couple of times. He was at Forum 2000, which was organized by the former president, Václav Havel. And I'd always wanted to meet F.W. de Klerk, having won the Nobel Peace Prize for dismantling apartheid. And I always thought he was the best speaker every time he appeared at Forum 2000. Both times I spoke to him, he gave me about a minute and 12 seconds of his time, but gave me several very concise, flawless answers to everything I asked.
Any little people, so to speak, any ordinary people who you met in your time at Radio Prague make a big impression?
I think some of the people I had to meet on the street for Vox Pops, some people would be willing to talk. Most people don't want to talk on the street, but some people would talk to the point where, you know, I think there was one lady where I had 12 minutes of her just going on and on about how angry she was with the government. So some very interesting people on the street. Most of them, though, were people who never actually appeared on Radio Prague because they spent most of the time swearing.
And what about figures in public life you may have met who were disappointing or annoying or unpleasant even?
I confess at times I was, I'm not sure if I was, maybe looking back, a bit disappointed in Moshe Zeman, Prime Minister from 1998 to 2002. He is famous amongst Czech journalists for being very rude in Czech, but he was always very polite in English, so I was disappointed that there was never anything juicy from any interview I had with him.
You're now a print journalist, Nick. Looking back at radio, what would you say are the advantages or disadvantages or even challenges of working in radio?
I think the biggest advantage is you do get to hear people talking and in their own words. With print media, you do have to take... There's a great deal of faith in the journalist's ability to print what people are saying. So you get a real feel for people and for their mood or the way that they feel about something. Print journalism, I think, has the advantage that you are able to go into more detail about an issue. I think that radio journalism, there are so many stories I've had that were 3 minutes and could have been 3 hours. And the major challenges, I think, for radio journalism are always how to bring the story to people, because you do have to boil it down, and it's a disadvantage, I think, that very people can really overcome, but when they do, it's absolutely wonderful.
It's, I guess, 4 years almost to the day since you left Radio Prague.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I came to the radio station just now and stood in the lobby. It was, 2001. It was not long after the attacks in New York.
And since then, you've been a print journalist, as I say. Is there enough work, or are there enough things happening in Prague to keep an ambitious young journalist like yourself busy?
Not for me, but more because I wanted to see more of the world. I think there are plenty of things for journalists here if they wanted to look around for them. I've spent much of the past year and a half traveling around the Balkans for my current job, but more because I wanted to see more of the world. And that's another reason why I'm leaving now, is that I'm very curious. My appetite hasn't been slaked by the Czech Republic.
And about living here in general as a foreigner, you've been here for a decade or so. I'm sure people ask you, as they ask me, how has Prague changed over the years? It has changed. What would you say are the biggest changes you've seen here?
I think a lot of consumers. I see a lot of Western shops, Western chains. A lot more emphasis on showing that you make money and having the latest gadgetry or the latest clothes. To a certain extent, even more so than in the West, that the Czechs have taken to consumerism like fish to water. And at times I do miss the early days when these chains weren't here. I felt those things were a little more real before.
Would you say Prague has become perhaps a little bit too civilized?
I don't know if I would say that. I think it's... Certainly, it's easier if you come from the West to get the things that you want in shops. Whether it's become more civilized, I don't know. I think that there are more challenges for people now, particularly for, say, the elderly. When I first came here, there were always elderly people on the trams. You'd find that someone would get up for them. Now I see young Czech kids who act like kids back in Britain, who don't get up on the trams for old people, and I find myself sort of irritated in the way that Czechs do as well. So I'm not sure if it's more civilised.
So, all things considered, 11 years, Nick, have you enjoyed it here?
For the most part, yes. I think there's an awful lot I'm going to miss. Professionally, I'm looking forward to new challenges and going other places, but I've spent a third of my life here, almost all of my adult life. So leaving is very difficult in a way. I think it's an amazing country. It's fascinating to see it change over the years. And I think, particularly when I look at young people, I think it has a good future.
Where are you going to? I'm sure listeners would like to know.
I'm going to Chicago, and I'm going to be working as a journalist there for Reuters.
Well, Nick, the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Ian.
And that discussion between Ian Willoughby and former Radio Prague journalist Nick Carey just about brings us to the end of our program today. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you would like to hear more from us, remember there is a website. That address is www.radio.cz/English. We also love to hear from our readers and listeners, rather. That address by email is english@radio.cz. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Kennedy. For all of us in the studio, tune in again soon. Poslouchej.